الحمد لله نحمد ونستعين ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah, and as such we should praise Him. We should seek His help and seek refuge in Him from the evil which is within ourselves and the evil which results from our deeds. For whomsoever Allah has misguided, none can guide. And whomsoever Allah has guided, none can send astray. And I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship but Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the last messenger of Allah. Inna asdaq al-hadith kitabullah wa khayra hadi hadi Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The most truthful form of speech is the book of Allah, and the best source of guidance is the guidance brought by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. And indeed, the most evil of all affairs are the innovations in religion. For every innovation in religion is a cursed innovation, a cause, a source of misguidance, which leads ultimately to hell. Brothers and sisters, continuing on from our look at the obligation of seeking knowledge, which we began a number of khutbas ago. And after looking at the general obligation, we looked at the foundations in which or from which we should seek knowledge, or about which we should be fully versed. And we said that we should have basic knowledge about Allah and His Messenger. That is the foundation. That is our declaration of faith. So we should be very clear on who Allah is and who His Messenger was, on what our obligation, our responsibility to Allah is, and what following Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam means. And we looked at the importance of understanding the Shahadatan in general, and we began to look at the importance of knowing what is required of us in Salah. The most fundamental principle of Islam after our declaration of faith. And to look at Salah and to understand what it is that we need to know. And of course, this is not the place for a fiqh class where we go into all of the details concerning Salah. But there are some glaring issues, some misunderstandings which need to be clarified so that this foundational principle can be done as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed it. The key to Salah is wudu. As Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, in a hadith narrated by Abu Huraira, by Sa'id ibn Zayd and Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, لا صلاة لمن لا وضوء له. One who has no wudu has no salah, meaning his salah is invalid. If one's wudu is broken, or one doesn't have wudu, our basic mode of purification, then salah becomes invalid. No matter what our intention may be. They went on to quote the Prophet ﷺ as saying, وَلَا وُضُوءَ لِمَنْ لَمْ يَذْكُرِ اسْمَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى عَلَيْهِ. And one who doesn't mention Allah's name on their wudu has no wudu. Their wudu is invalid. And this is narrated in Sunan Abi Dawud, Sunan At-Tirmidhi, and Sunan Ibn Majah, and it is authentic. But I would dare to say that the vast majority of Muslims today don't take time to say, or are not even aware of saying, Bismillah before making wudu. And this is a very clear statement. Now, some scholars have interpreted it so as to make the implication of it lighter, saying that one who doesn't make or state the name of Allah before making wudu, the value of his wudu is reduced. Because there are some times when the Prophet ﷺ has said, a person, there's nothing for them in this or nothing for them in that, when it is known that it meant the reward has been reduced. There are a number of other occasions which Prophet ﷺ had made some statements like this, and it's understood in that way by the vast majority of scholars, no doubt. However, this statement is made in a context. Before Prophet Muhammad ﷺ said, one who doesn't mention Allah's name on his or her wudu has no wudu. Before he said that, he said, one who doesn't have wudu has no salah. Now, do we understand that previous statement, one who has no wudu has no salah, that the value of his salah is reduced? Or it means literally he has no salah. It literally means he has no salah. Not reduced. So when the Prophet ﷺ made that statement, followed immediately by, and one who doesn't mention Allah's name on his or her wudu has no wudu, we have no choice but to understand it the same way that the previous statement was made. It is in a context. If it were said by itself, without that context, then it's easier to say, well, perhaps what was intended here is a reduction of reward. So this makes this issue of mentioning Allah's name before wudu something very serious. Something very serious. Not something that we can brush off and say, well, okay, my wudu is not quite what it should be, but this is implying that we have no wudu. And no wudu means no salah. And here we are sitting in the masjid without wudu, getting set to make salah. This is very serious. Of course, for those of you who never heard this before, because unfortunately, this knowledge may not be that widespread. You might find this as strange. We never heard that before. All these years we've been taught wudu and we're teaching wudu and we never heard this. But this is fact. It is not an obscure hadith found in obscure books about whose authenticity there is doubt. This is a clear hadith narrated by three of the leading companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, found in the Sihah al-Sitta, three of the six authentic books, most authentic books of hadith. So it's not something light. It is something very serious. One who didn't know about this, of course, there is the element of being excused because of ignorance. You didn't know, and Allah will not hold you accountable because you were not taught this, you weren't aware of it. So you do have an excuse before Allah. But this is if you didn't have the opportunity to know. Because ignorance is not something which we can use to cover our own negligence. Ignorance, where there is no negligence, where one has made one's efforts, but you know that knowledge just didn't come to us, then logically we will be excused because it's qadr Allah. But ignorance where there is negligence. As I mentioned before, sometimes when we try to explain such things to people, people say, don't tell us. It would have been better if you never told us that there was Bismillah before wudu. Because now you've made life more difficult for us. Before that we didn't know, Allah excused us, now you have put this big weight on our shoulders. Better we didn't know. No. No. It's not better. It's better you knew. To save what went before and at least protect what is to come. So, this is a very basic principle. It's basic in the sense that it puts wudu in a context. It puts wudu in a context, in a spiritual context, mentioning the name of Allah, first and foremost. Instead of us jumping into wudu, washing up, and we're doing it like the way we wash our hands after we eat, when we feel dirty, we clean up. We're doing it in that way. That is not wudu. That element might be involved in wudu, that there is a cleaning aspect to it, physically. But the greater aspect of wudu is the spiritual aspect. Which is why the Prophet ﷺ had said, one who doesn't mention the name of Allah prior to his wudu has no wudu. It is that important. Like one who doesn't mention the name of Allah before slaughtering the animal, that animal becomes haram for himself or herself. Because though, yes, slaughtering an animal to eat, this is a physical thing for a physical need, we are obliged as Muslims to put that slaughter in a context, recognizing that this is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that we are taking that life in the name of Allah, by Allah's permission. Otherwise, it's not permissible for us. We cannot hunt animals for sport. Islam forbids it, to kill animals for sport. We take the life of the animal because of a real need, a societal need, an individual need, and we do so in the name of Allah. making sure that it is done correctly, according to the principles that Islam requires. Similarly, our wudu has to be performed in a similar way. We begin putting it in the spiritual context, making wudu while being conscious of Allah. And among the points concerning wudu, where many people have gone astray, is the wiping of the head when making wudu. I'm not going to go to all the different parts. I'm just going to touch, as I said, on some of the key areas where people have gone astray. Wiping the head when making wudu. The companions of the Prophet ﷺ reported that he wiped the whole head from the front to the back. Some narrations from the front to the back, to the beginning of his neck and back to the front again, including the sides. This is how he wiped his head. But today, we have a body of Muslims for whom wudu is merely moving one's cap backwards, if you're wearing a cap, wetting your hand and then patting it on the top of your head 3 times. We have people, a body of Muslims, particularly those belonging to the Shafi'i school, where this ignorant custom has developed, not taught by the scholars, but widespread amongst the followers, where wudu, wiping of the head, becomes moving the hat backwards and patting the front part where the hair starts to grow 3 times. 1, 2, 3. And that is masah, wiping the head. Of course, it's not. It definitely is not. As is described, the companions of the Prophet ﷺ said that he took his hands, wiped the whole of his head, including the sides. That is masah. Anything short of that is not masah. That is masah. Now, as I said, this is an area of error. Those of you that come from that madhab or follow that madhab who have developed that mistaken custom, then know that you need to correct it from now onwards. The other minor point, which is commonly missing from wudu for many of us, is that when the Prophet ﷺ washed his feet, he took the little finger, doesn't mention right hand or left hand, he took the little finger and rubbed it between the toes. This is authentically reported in Sunan Abi Dawood and elsewhere. He put the fingers between the toes. Most of us don't do it today. The Maliki Madhab, they stress it. Why? Because Imam Malik, who used to teach wudu without mentioning wiping between the toes, and in one of his classes, one of his students questioned him, and he said it wasn't necessary. But then his student said to him, But I heard, and he narrated the hadith, where a companion described the Prophet ﷺ as doing exactly that. So from that day onwards, Imam Malik taught his students to put the little finger between the toes when washing the feet. So again, this is among the acts which complete the wudu. I'm not saying that if you didn't do that, you have no wudu, because that's, I don't have the right to say that. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is the only one who has the right to say, if you don't do this, you have no wudu. The general acts of wudu, we know them, they're mentioned in the Quran. As long as one does them, inshallah, the wudu is acceptable. But these are the other acts which ensure the completeness of the wudu. So that it is done in the way that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do it, the way that Allah instructed Jibreel to teach the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam how to do it, because he didn't learn by himself. He didn't come up with these acts from his own reflections. Angel Gabriel came and taught him how to make wudu. And that is what he has passed on to us. So, these are some minor points that I wanted to mention that we need to reflect on. The major point is mentioning Allah's name before wudu. And I can only ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He open up our hearts to accept these narrations from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and improve and to correct our wudu, so that at least the basic requirements are fulfilled, to give us a chance to have our salah accepted. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ورسائل المسلمين كل ذنب فاستغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. I mentioned that asking Allah to forgive myself and you all, and ask you to call on Allah and seek His forgiveness, for none can forgive sins except Himself. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. In order to further clarify the spiritual foundation of wudu, I mention a particular hadith found in Sunan at-Tirmidhi, authentic, narrated by Abu Huraira, in which he quoted the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as saying, when a servant of God washes his face, every sinful thing he saw or thought about will be washed away with the last drop of water from his face. And when he washes his hands, every sin that they did will be washed off from his hands with the last drop of water. And when he washes his feet, every sin towards which his feet have walked will be washed away with the last drop of water. So he comes from wudu, pure from all sins. So he comes from having made wudu, pure from all sins. Wudu is a means of purification from sin. It is a means of salvation. So it becomes even more important that we do it properly that we don't neglect it. It becomes so important if we are concerned about success in this life and the life to come, then we cannot afford to trivialize various aspects of this religion. We can't afford it. Every aspect is important, especially this type where we're talking about salvation. This is like Hajj. Hajj, which is coming, where the Prophet ﷺ spoke about a person going for Hajj coming back. If his Hajj or her Hajj is accepted, free from sin, pure, like the day he or she was born. And we put Hajj in our minds as a goal, something we want to achieve. Most of us here will not make Hajj. We won't have the opportunity. We won't have the means. We won't have the money. We can't afford it. Our jobs won't let us. Sometimes it's due to our own negligence in this part. And other times it really is outside of our control. We are close. Only a couple of hours away from Mecca. What about the rest of the ummah? 1,000 miles, 2,000, 10,000 miles away. How many of them are going to make Hajj? Hajj, which purifies the believer from sin. Allah in His mercy, knowing that most believers will not be able to make Hajj, He gave us the reward of Hajj in wudu. He gave us the reward of Hajj in wudu. Something that we didn't even think about. Because we take wudu, it's a regular thing, we do it every day before salah. And wudu has lost its meaning. Or we never understood the meaning of wudu. But this is the power of wudu. The Prophet ﷺ said, the one who makes wudu in that way will come from his wudu pure, free from all sins. Now some scholars say all minor sins. But that's an opinion. The Prophet ﷺ didn't say all minor sins. He said from all sins. And he has the power to do that. To free us from all sins, major and minor, from wudu. So is it something that we can afford to be negligent about? Obviously not. Something so small as that. So, we need to take this knowledge from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We need to know that we're talking about a spiritual state. Because when he spoke of sins falling from our faces in the last drops of water, this is not something you can see. This is not something that is observable. Sins dropping from our hands with the last drops of water. Not something observable. From our feet. This is a spiritual change which is taking place. And that spiritual change will only take place if we have mentioned the name of Allah in the very beginning. That is setting the stage. That is setting the stage for wudu according to the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has called on us to ask for his blessings for the Messenger of Allah, because he showed us the way. He gave us this information. He provided the means of salvation for each and every one of us on a daily basis. Furthermore, he said that one who finishes his wudu after having done it properly, as we spoke about, and he says, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship but Allah, who is without partner, and Muhammad was the messenger of Allah. And then he goes on to say, اللهم اجعلني من التوابين واجعلني من المتطهرين. O Allah, make me among those who are constantly repentant and among those who constantly purify themselves. Then the 8 gates of paradise will be opened and he may enter by whichever one of them that he wishes. The 8 gates of paradise are opened and the individual may enter by whichever of the gates he or she wishes. So what is that saying about wudu? What is that saying about wudu? Then this is what we need to keep in mind. Brothers and sisters, this is what we need to keep in mind. We have this opportunity 5 times a day for our obligatory prayers. 5 times a day we have this opportunity to purify ourselves, to find that way to paradise. So it is for us either to take the opportunity or to let it go. We have to take that opportunity. It is given to us, it is offered to us, or we may let it go, as we have in the past. We have the opportunity to turn our prayers around from now, to make each and every prayer after this a prayer sincerely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not one merely to fulfill customs and traditions, obligations about which we haven't even reflected, a habit that we have developed. Make as-salah, about which Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before he died, before he left this world, he said, as-salah, as-salah. Those were his last words. As-salah, as-salah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the reality of salah, to make our preparations, wudu for salah, proper, in a way pleasing to him, to purify ourselves from our sins, our daily sins, to open for us the gates of paradise, and to clear the way to a life dedicated to Allah until our last breath in this world.